Welcome to America Tonight. Each and every show, we kick it off with our pals from Talk Radio News. Ellen Ratner in the wings, none better. Ellen, for a time you were at the president's press conference today, and boy, he was talking about everything. He was quite loquacious, am I right?
Yes, but, you know, he often does that with press conferences where he'll talk, and then not too many people get to ask questions, really.
Yeah, put your hands down. Forget about it. I'm just going to go on and on.
Right,
there was one bizarre question. You might have heard that in the beginning, something about how did he feel as though his agenda was failing. How did he handle that one?
Well, he handled it very well. I mean, he basically said that it wasn't, and that, you know, and then obviously, I mean, one of the things, the reasons he had the press conference when he did is because the House is out of session. This is a really good time for him to sort of go at them.
Yeah, exactly. He talked about Syria. What was the word on Syria?
The word on Syria is that, and it's actually interesting because there's an interesting juxtaposition. The word on Syria is that he wants to know more about the chemical weapons. He said, you know, it was not just sort of a line for the United States. It was a line for the international community. And then the Syrian representative got up today at the United Nations, did a press conference and said, well, they weren't just going to allow people to run around from Syria and basically, you know, I mean, from the United Nations around Syria and then not be able to find out what's really going on. He said, because how do we know that there were chemical weapons used, as if the Syrian government didn't do it? He said, we're not going to just trust a letter. We're not going to just let people run around Syria.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's crazy, too.
Exactly. He is crazy, too. Hey, while we're sticking in the Middle East for a second, Benghazi, it's not going away. And the president addressed this, though.
Well, one of the things that he was asked about was there are apparently four different government employees that are saying that they've been told to be quiet and not say what they know. And the president was asked about that, and he said he knew nothing about that, and he would find out about that. So this is very interesting because if either he didn't appear, his body language, et cetera, did not appear that he wasn't telling the truth. And I wasn't in the room, but other people were. And I did see it on TV, but I talked to several other people. So his body language didn't look like he was lying. So the issue is, did his people who prepare his reports not tell him about this? Or does he not, you know, does he not read some of the anti-Obama websites? Probably doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah, that doesn't. If you only have a short amount of time, why are you looking at the negative? I mean, there's no way he's going to do that. The thing that everybody wants to talk about still, and here on America Tonight too, and I get a ton of email on this, is the Boston Marathon bombing, the coordination, everything that happened there. The president didn't hit this. You know, he didn't really hit up on this, did he?
No, he was asked about it. He was asked about would there have been better coordinated information, et cetera. He didn't answer that. He talked about the coordination afterwards. Well, everybody knows there was pretty good coordination afterwards. It was the before information. Now, of course, some of it is fully at the steps of the Russians, who didn't tell the United States about the wiretap, et cetera. But some of it may be, and this is the question to be examined, may be what has actually happened to, or what happened to the information that various agencies had.
Yeah. The other thing is I thought was really interesting is one of the things he talked about when he was campaigning about closing Gitmo, and he talked about Gitmo again. What did he say as far as closing it?
Well, he said that it is, you know, it is essentially a way that a terrorist extremists can recruit because of what's going on there, that it's basically un-American to put somebody in no man's land without a trial, that we are able to take care of people very well, that the Times Square bomber, that the Detroit bomber were in, you know, very confined areas in prisons within the U.S., and that he thinks Guantanamo should be closed.
Yeah. I wanted to jump over to President Clinton for a second. He spoke at Georgetown, and, you know, we keep hearing about the immigration bill, and he thinks the immigration bill will go through. Do you think that's right?
He complimented Speaker Boehner for bringing up the Violence Against Women's Act, even though many of his caucus did not want him to. He basically said that if the Republicans do not filibuster, which actually doesn't look like it's going to happen because of the Gang of Eight includes Republicans, and the Speaker brings it up, then he actually thinks it will pass.
Yeah. All right, last one, because I know you own several homes all over the world. Home prices went up, is that right? The most since 2006?
That's right. It's the most since 2006. Quite unbelievable. Looks like it has gone up something like 9% since then.
Yeah.
And that's really, that's pretty amazing since the housing market had basically totally stalled.
Yeah. You've lived a lot of different places, seriously. And, you know, I wonder this, is what's your favorite place, what's the favorite place for you to nest for a while?
Any place that's warm. Of all the cities I've lived in, and I've pretty much, you know, I lived a little bit in Memphis. I lived in Cleveland, Ohio, so I love Cleveland because I'm from Ohio.
Yeah.
Boston and Washington and New York, I'll take Washington.
I agree with you on Washington. So why don't you open a branch of Talk Radio News in Hawaii? I'll run it for you.
Right. How about any place that's warm? Maybe the Caribbean, even South Sudan.
There you go. Ellen Ratner, thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right, it's funny talking about the weather there with Ellen and saying how she prefers Washington and how this year so many of the people in the Midwest, many of you listening to America Tonight, know what it's like to see extended seasons as far as cold is concerned and nasty weather, whether it's extra sleet and hail or, more importantly, the white stuff. They were seeing that in Colorado, and there were other cold temperatures, of course, that were reported and supposed to be sticking around for the next couple of days. And then it'll spike back up into the 80s for most of America. Isn't it interesting how this has really, really lingered? Coming up the rest of the way on America Tonight, of course, each and every week we talk to our pal on the West Coast, Stephen Shohet. This time around, we're going to talk to him about The Great Gatsby. You may have seen some of the trailers for it pumped out all over the tube, and Leonardo DiCaprio is the star in this one. Remember, Robert Redford was the star in the original one. This is a much different version of it, so we'll talk about that with him. Also, we're going to talk about Guantanamo, as we mentioned there with Ellen, some of the scuttlebutt that was over Guantanamo, how that kind of went away a little bit, and now it's bubbling back up, and what ultimately will happen there. This has been talked about now for the last decade, and especially since the president is in his second term, and as I mentioned to Ellen, this was one of the things that he hammered again and again and again, that Guantanamo had to be closed and we could prosecute terrorists on our own soil. And we know what a mess that would have been with Khalid Sheikh Mohammed when there were cries to bring him to New York. And like I said, what a disaster that would have been. It would have cost New York a fortune to try to secure that area in the federal courthouse, which wasn't too far from where Ground Zero was. So more conversation on Guantanamo. Plus, we'll have some odds and ends that include a Newtown daughter going after a senator, furious over what's happening with guns and legislation. Hang with us. Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Hey there, my name is Frank Bates. Do you know the number one most valuable item in a crisis? Some people think the answer is gold. Others think it's a gun. But the correct answer will shock you. I just created a free video at crisis123.com that reveals a surprising item that is more valuable than gold in a crisis. 97% of Americans don't have this one critical item. In fact, they haven't even given it a thought. And the sad truth is that you may not survive without it when a real crisis hits and a starving mob is right outside your door. What I have to tell you could literally make the difference between life and death for you and your family. Watch my video at crisis123.com to discover the number one most valuable item in a crisis. You'll be shocked. See the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go watch my video now at crisis123.com before they force me to shut it down. Again, that's crisis123.com.
You know how I feel about space. I'm a space geek in a sense. I mean, I'm not over the top, but I love to hear the stories. We've talked to people who have been NASA engineers. We've talked to people who have explored. We've talked to astronauts. I've probably interviewed about five in my lifetime, including John Glenn. And you know how I feel about what we're doing with the space program. We're shuffling it all over the place. In some areas, too much money was spent and whittled away and wasted. And in other areas where we could have really used it and funneled it in, it was too late to do that. So check this out. I'm going to call it really the blunder of the day. NASA is paying $424 million more to Russia to get our guys into space. That's hitching a ride. That is a premium ride. If you break that number down, that's $70.6 million a seat. Are you kidding me? Talk about a blunder. $70.6 million. If you can't find these seats on Orbitz, well, Travelocity, that's a crazy amount of money. Initially, they were talking about even $65 million, but it just keeps going up. Because, look, Russia knows they have the premium on this. They're the only way to get our people to and from the space station. So ticket prices, just like the airlines, have soared with every single contract. Several U.S. companies are trying to figure out ways to work on rockets and spacecraft and launch our people from our own soil, but that's still many, many years away. The ability to actually put guys into orbit from the United States ended with NASA's shuttle program, as you know, in 2011. Those shuttles in various corners of the country where people can go and see them. So they mothballed that program. That was it. But even before the shuttles retired, we had been relying on Russia to transport long-term people to the space station, anybody we were going to put up there for any length of time. So, of course, NASA's administrator, Charles Bolden, is the guy. He said if Congress had approved the request for more funding for its commercial space effort, then guess what? The latest contract would have been unnecessary. So this is why he's saying let's get some full funding here for the budget request, which was $821 million in seed money for this commercial crew program, because it would save money, exactly, in the long run. Talk about a duh moment. We knew we had to put people into space, so somebody had to crunch these numbers. They must not have been good at math, which is odd, because in NASA circles, you're usually pretty brilliant at math. It would take longer if Congress doesn't, it could take longer if Congress doesn't support the 2014 request, which I hear is pretty likely. Because when we're bleeding money, of course, many of us, and many of you would call me and say, what, are you crazy? But you don't understand. We're not putting people into space. So we're continuing to pay. Who knows what it's going to be? $100 million per person by the time the Russians are done? Now, there is a guy, Elon Musk. You might have heard of his name. We talked to him once a very long time ago. Now he's uber famous and talks to nobody but maybe 60 Minutes. But his California-based space exploration tech company, it's called SpaceX, is making cargo shipments to the space station. And they think the company could take the astronauts with a better version of their Dragon capsules maybe by 2015. But this is untested, so they've got to test, and they actually had a successful launch about 1.5 weeks ago. They're doing the supply thing, but supplies are different than carrying passengers. So will they be able to do this and carry the passengers? So with the Russians, anyway, 6 seats are included in the Russian contract, and it covers Americans, Europeans, Canadians, and Japanese astronauts. They have these barter agreements between NASA and the other countries. But man, oh man, seems like a pretty high price to pay when if we had had a budget and kept something as a vehicle to launch, I bet if you did the numbers, it would pull in the favor of having kept something going at NASA where you would skyrocket somebody into space, because that's amazing how much that's gone up. 70 million. And I'm serious. It will go up. Trust me. They're not stupid. They know that they have a market on this because there's no other way. There's just no other way to get up there. So, you want to go to your space station? You want to go up there? I'll tell you what. All you have to do is write the check, and our checks are getting us into trouble. This is what's happened in the past. And unfortunately, with space exploration, there are some things that have happened that have been incredible and reasons why we have to stay, I think, in this game. And this was a huge mistake. I mean, an absolute huge, huge mistake. That's why I called it the blunder of the week. Interesting things that are happening across the nooks and crannies out there include what so many people are talking about. I mentioned it in the beginning, these freakish cold storms that we're having, the cold weather, and lots of people just saying when they get on an elevator, where is spring? It's May. What happened to those flowers? Because you've got this other snowstorm in Denver, very, very much ready to drop there. There's already some flakes. I said that in a previous show. I had a college roommate who sent me an email saying that there was a little bit of snow already. So it's back to winter in the Midwest. And Matt Johnson, of course, the glue of the show, one day when he was off, told me that there were stations that were playing Christmas music. And the people in Minnesota aren't the only ones to get that idea. In Colorado, they're doing the same thing. They're playing like Winter Wonderland and whatnot. So this cold front that you're feeling is amazing. You drop from the 90s to the 30s. So one day you wake up like in Lubbock, Texas, and it's 94 degrees and you got your flops on and your shorts. And the very next day it's 40 degrees and you're struggling to find that sweatshirt that I talked about before, or sweater in the back of the closet, because it's just that odd. It's Kansas City. There was highs in the 80s, and now it's back into the 40s. Chicago, finally, they were walking around the lake, 80-degree weather over the weekend, and now it's dumping back into the 50s. all of you in Iowa. We have some great listeners in Iowa. A lot of you email the show. They're looking at 40s, 30s. But if they started off with 80s in the beginning of the week. I would have to think for some people, too, that these temperature drops are messing a little bit with your health. Because a lot of people, when you get those high temps and then it all of a sudden dips down, the people end up with colds. They're not dressed right and all that kind of stuff. It's just the science of really layering yourself. When you were a kid and you didn't want to take your jacket to school and your mother was screaming at you, take that jacket, take your coat, yelling when you're running to the bus. It is about that. It's about now that you got to do the layer thing because you just don't really know. Is cold better or is heat better? Because I think there's no in between in this. Either you like colder temperatures or you like warmer temperatures. And some people absolutely hate the heat. So believe it or not, they like the idea that it's a little bit cooler. And then there's the others who hate dancing on top of the sun. All right, I mentioned that our pal Stephen Shohat, Hollywood Stories author, and by the way, if you do go to La La Land, he is an awesome tour guide because of all that knowledge. He's going to join us shortly. He's in our virtual green room, and we're going to talk about this new remake. There's this push for remakes, I think, in Hollywood. And The Great Gatsby, I'm not sure if audiences will take to that or not. Maybe older audiences, people who know the story. But will the F. Scott Fitzgerald novel that probably about the Roaring Twenties, that probably a lot of kids don't know much about, will this actually strike a chord? Now, of course, Baz Luhrmann has directed this, so he's the Moulin Rouge guy, so it's going to be a little bit different than the version that we saw before, but Leonardo DiCaprio, Tobey Maguire, some interesting cast in this, and I don't know, maybe it strikes the fancy of some people. It's so hard to predict what's going to happen at the box office, except for with the superhero movies like Iron Man 3. It'll blow the doors off of everything. It will blow the doors off of anything out there when it goes in wide release coming up this weekend. Shohat next. Hang with us.
Life over. Spend more quality time with your family, take more vacations, own your own business, be healthy, and earn the kind of income you've always dreamed of. Is it possible? Yes, with Youngevity. First, you've got to see the video that is turning the medical industry upside down. Go to HealthyBody13.com. That's HealthyBody13.com. Watch this video, then pre-register for the Spring Youngevity Convention May 2nd through 4th in Las Vegas, Nevada. And guess who will be there?
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. And I prescribe the Healthy Body Challenge, and I'll be there.
Hi, I'm Steve Schultz, Vice President of Training here at Youngevity. I'm taking the Healthy Body Challenge, and I'll be there.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson, President of the Genesis Communications Network. I'm taking the Healthy Body Challenge, and I'm going to be there.
Take the Healthy Body Challenge, and don't miss the Youngevity Convention in Las Vegas, Nevada, May 2nd through 4th. For more information, go to HealthyBody13.com or call 1-800-360-8695. That's 800-360-8695.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide worldwide customers with Real People customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Ceramic body armor is rated to stop six hits. But what about the seventh? Unlike ceramic or Kevlar, Infidel body armor is proven to take hit after hit, and it just won't quit. Reasonably priced and designed for the smart civilian prepper, Infidel stops hundreds of hits from small arms to high-powered rifles. That means safety and peace of mind. Buy yours at InfidelBodyArmor.com. Spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Springtime is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at HerbalHealer.com. New customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's spring specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale, CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Sea Cucumber, Super Fam and Super Male Plex, plus Glucosamine Chondroitin, our best-selling liquid CalMag Vitamin D, and our colloidal minerals, all on sale for spring at HerbalHealer.com. And Herbal Healer also offers certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at HerbalHealer.com.
What is? The fact that Gatsby's house is just across the bay.
It's no coincidence. He bought that house to be near her. He threw all those parties hoping she'd wander in one night. He constantly asked about Daisy. I was just the first person that knew her.
All that for a girl he hasn't seen in 5 years. And now he just wants me to invite her over to tea. The modesty of him.
Can't take your breath away, doesn't it?
Amen, sweetheart. Where are your kids going?
Long Island, please.
Long Island? You think I should? I mean, does Daisy want to see Gatsby?
She's absolutely not to know. You're just supposed to invite her over so he can happen to pass by.
All right, so The Big Romance, The Great Gatsby, an adaptation of F. Scott Fitzgerald's famous novel. And you heard some of the stars I mentioned before, DiCaprio and Carey Mulligan's in there, and Tobey Maguire's part of this, and it's Baz Luhrmann directing it. So different than the first Great Gatsby you might have seen with Robert Redford as one of the stars, if you remember that, if you recall that from the 70s. It Must Be Movies we're talking about in our pal Stephen Showhead. Hollywood Stories, it's an awesome read, an awesome book. HollywoodStories.com, you can go there too as well. Stephen, how are you? How's your week so far?
Oh, great, Kate. How are you?
I'm excellent, thank you. The Great Gatsby, first of all, the original, did you like it?
No, and that's why I'm very surprised. I'm interested in seeing this one, but this one seems like it has life, and the original, well, you know, the original one was actually made in 1926. It was a silent film that was lost, and it's the fifth adaptation coming up here. I mean, it's just amazing when you go back to Fitzgerald writing this book in 1925, getting great critical reviews, never being a big seller, and then Fitzgerald and his wife Zelda just living a wild lifestyle, riding on the top of taxis, diving into fountains and hotels, you know, renting out mansions, going to parties and borrowing people's watches and putting them in tomato sauce and being amused by it when nobody else was, and spending advances and getting broke. And of course, Fitzgerald was talking about the dangers of what money could do to you, but you know, he spent it a lot faster than he could make it and got into huge financial problems and ended up the last 3 years between 1937 and 1940. He only died at the age of 44 in 1940, coming out to Hollywood, and a lot of people felt sorry for him and tried to hire him, but oftentimes it didn't turn out very well.
Yeah, I was saying this before you came on. Here's the deal with the movies, especially what they're trying to do, cash in at the box office and DVD and all that sort of stuff. And Baz Luhrmann would be much different for sure than obviously what the original was. But how many younger people do you think would connect with The Great Gatsby because of what the movie's about?
You know, it's just so surprising, but I think it's going to be a ton. Now, you know, I'm better with the past than I am with the future. But I think with Leonardo in it, I think it's going to bring out a ton of old Titanic fans wanting to watch him in a romance again. And the best indicator is how well the book is doing right now. I checked before I came on the air, number 3 on Amazon,
ooh,
both in paperback and in Kindle. So it's
just—I mean,
it's too bad Fitzgerald never got any. I mean, his estate is getting money for this, but unfortunately, I mean, when he was involved with gossip column Miss Sheila Graham, when his wife Zelda unfortunately was in a sanitarium, and he wanted to show Sheila Graham some of his works, and this is around 1937, and they would just go to bookstore after bookstore and ask for copies of Tender Is the Night or The Great Gatsby. No copies to be found. I mean, it was totally out of print. So I'm pretty sure, if he was around today, he'd be very surprised by the popularity of this book. And I've read that a lot of young people have read the book, loved the book, and are definitely excited about going to see this movie.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, that's great. Actually, so that's great news. If that's what's happening with the book, that definitely would tell us something, sure.
And also, there's such an interest in the 1920s, it seems like. Downton Abbey,
it's just
at the tip of the 1920s, but the third season was pretty much the 1920s. Of course, Boardwalk Empire, the 1920s. I think, you know, there's a great deal of interest at that time. And of course, Leonardo DiCaprio has talked about things like you have kids were so out of behaving so wildly that their parents were having them arrested and things like that. And of course, it's, Fitzgerald, he always believed that one of the reasons why Gatsby and the other books didn't do as well is because in the 30s, it didn't seem like telling stories about the rich, whether it be new money or old money, didn't seem to resonate during the Great Depression. And he was always upset about that because he was a total liberal. And he said, don't people understand that I'm ripping on this lifestyle? And I think Baz Luhrmann wants to do the same thing. In fact, Carey Mulligan is going around describing the character that she's playing of Daisy as a Kardashian.
Oh, yeah, well, that's good because that really obviously would resonate with younger people. They understand the Kardashians with the success of those girls and, of course, what they're doing. They're rich girls running around. So that's a smart play, I think, on her part. And also, too, the trailers, they're really pumping. They're spending a lot of money on publicity, so maybe that's helping.
Yeah, right. And they saved a lot of money by making the movie in Australia and getting a lot of tax subsidies. I mean, at one point, Baz Luhrmann, Warner Brothers was going to shut him down or at least limit him to a mere $80 million, and he ended up getting the $104 that he wanted. But they really think they got something here, and of course, it's being shown in 3D too. And the sets look fantastic. I mean, it's going to be interesting. A movie that takes place in the 1920s with music by Beyonce and Jay-Z. But Luhrmann said that when they were having the party scenes, they couldn't get into a decadent enough mood with 1920s jazz style music, and so they needed Jay-Z to help them. So it's just really, here it is going up against all the superhero movies, and it's really an interesting test to see how well this fame piece of literature will do. But it certainly by the bookstore sales, it's really building up anticipation.
Yeah. Hey, we wanted to change gears quickly here because you sent me a note, and this I thought was worth talking about. I just saw a documentary on funny women, and one of the funniest women, if you go back to variety TV, was Carol Burnett, and of course celebrating a birthday. Did you used to watch that variety show?
I love that show. I love Carol Burnett. She's fantastic. She just turned 80 years old, when she was a young lady, she and her boyfriend at the time were helped by an anonymous benefactor in New York who said, you know, I'm going to give you a couple $1,000 and you must never reveal who I am, and you must try and pay me back within 5 years, and then you must help people as well if you make it. And that's absolutely what she did for this young girl named Vicki Lawrence, who wrote her a fan letter and said she was in a talent show in school, and Carol Burnett was pregnant, got the letter on the same day of the talent show, called up Vicki Lawrence, looked her up in the book, got her father's name, said she'd go to the talent show. Vicki Lawrence couldn't believe it, but told the talent coordinator, Carol Burnett is coming here. Oh, yeah, sure she is. Well, she is. Please let her sit in the back. Please don't embarrass her. And the talent coordinator said he would, but then when he saw Carol Burnett there, he said, hey, everyone, we have a special guest, Carol Burnett. And Vicki Lawrence said, oh, that's the end of me. And even though Carol Burnett had requested anonymity, she called Vicki Lawrence the next day like nothing had happened and said, we want you to come down to the show, and kept her there for 4 years while Vicki Lawrence was learning like a sponge to absorb comedy from people like Harvey Korman. And then Vicki started to be able to play characters like Mama. And it just was incredible generosity by Carol Burnett.
That's amazing. That's an awesome story. Someone helps her, she turns it around. I had no idea about that. Only you know that kind of stuff, Stephen Schoen.
No, not only me, but I like to, you know, spread these good stories around.
Yeah, it's a good story. I like it, absolutely. Check out HollywoodStories.com. Hollywood Stories, short entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movies. Buy the book. It's really a spectacular read. Next week, we'll do it again, my friend.
You got it.
All right, thank you. So, Stephen, talking about, of course, The Great Gatsby, and I didn't realize that. We always find these great nuggets of information, some of what was happening behind the scenes to pump up the volume on the movie. So perhaps it does open okay, because as he was mentioning, Iron Man 3, when you're going up against superhero movies, that's pretty tough, especially when you see what the box office was. It was almost $200 million. It was a crazy amount of money just overseas, and then when it goes full on wide release in the United States, I mean, there's the pre-sales are already crazy from Fandango and the others, where people will get the tickets ahead of time. People are having Iron Man parties and all that sort of stuff, so it's going to be absolutely huge, I'm sure. But The Great Gatsby probably has a chance to maybe clean up a little bit too, especially if it was made on a much smaller budget. On the flip side, speaking of money, what is the cost of losing limbs thanks to terrorism? We'll talk about it next here on America Tonight.
Time and and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Bills in front of Congress right now could take away your right to keep and bear arms. If Obama has his way, all guns will be either banned, restricted, or confiscated, possibly by executive order. The best way to keep your guns is to hide them. What Obama can't find, Obama can't take away. You can protect your guns from any threat. Download our special report, How to Hide Your Guns, at GoHideYourGuns.com. Learn how to hide your guns while keeping them readily available. Get the report now before they make us take it down. On the web at GoHideYourGuns.com. Sergeant Dave Scott, Army Search and Rescue veteran, wants you to hear this urgent message. All emergencies have casualties, but in America, most casualties from storms like Katrina and Sandy only happen because good people were in the wrong place at the wrong time. Don't let that happen to you. Visit yourbugoutplan.com on the web. Watch a free video presentation of the skills you need to be long gone before any disaster can touch you. You owe it to yourself and to your family to watch this. Head to yourbugoutplan.com on the web right now, yourbugoutplan.com.
What do you do when your government is engaged in unconstitutional acts? And what should you do when our elected officials fail to uphold their oath to protect we the people from foreign and domestic enemies? Hello, fellow patriot. I'm Pastor Broden of the Constitutional Defenders of Texas, and we have discovered a constitutional answer to these questions. The answer is found in the First Amendment to the Constitution. The fifth platform in the First Amendment is the answer to our government operating in an unconstitutional way. The right to peaceably assemble and petition redress for grievances. Redress means to set right, to amend. It is a remedy for a wrong or an ill perpetrated against we the people. Sign our petition for redress at c.x.com. That's c.dot.x.com. Redress equals solution.
FBI investigated that older brother. It's not as if the FBI did nothing. They not only investigated the older brother, they interviewed the older brother. They concluded that there were no signs that he was engaging in extremist activity. Obviously, old habits die hard. There's still suspicions sometimes between our intelligence and law enforcement agencies that date back 10, 20, 30 years back to the Cold War. But they're continually improving.
All right, the president defending the FBI because people are wondering about the ball and who dropped it. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. We're driving through that final turn. We just went through the checkered flag. So here in our last segment of this hour, a couple of things about the Boston Marathon. One, PBS, they did a frontline that was just brilliant. They talked about the war on terror and how much money is being spent. We've talked about some of this. What people don't realize, how many secret agencies, I'll call them secret, but governmental agencies have been set up since 9/11, often in office parks around the United States, where we've got all kinds of surveillance equipment and war rooms and that sort of thing. And with all of that technology, all the money we're spending there on ways to try to combat and thwart people who would do us harm in this country, whether it's homegrown or from somebody from a foreign land, let's say Al-Qaeda camps or any of that kind of stuff. Boston happens, and yet it's just another, it's another hole in the system, because they weren't caught. They weren't seen when they put the bombs down. Nobody realized what was happening. And if you look at the other possibilities in two different cases, like Abdullah Muttalib, the underwear bomber who really came close to blowing up the plane. Remember, it was somebody on the plane that also jumped him, stopped him. So it's really people being a little bit more diligent. It's not so much the big nets that we've set up. So in this case, the president didn't want to go there, didn't answer the question head on, just says, oh, yes, the aftermath and how well they did pretty much afterwards. Well, afterwards, you still have 20 people with severe injuries in Boston area hospitals. Check this out. Did you know, and hopefully a lot of you don't know this because you're healthy, knock on all kinds of wood. I'm knocking for you. Can you hear it? The average cost for a day, spending a day in a hospital in the United States, is $4,287. If you have severe injuries, it's even more than that. If you have traumatic brain injuries, the average per day cost is $8,000. Can you imagine? So, a lot of people feel, we feel, and we're such a great, generous country, we feel for the people who are in this situation as a result of going to the marathon. Do you know that more than $30 million already has been donated for the people who are victims of that bombing? But it's not enough to cover the years of medical bills for the people injured. You have 260 victims, maybe even a little bit more, but 260 is the live number, I'll call that. And some of them have the health insurance. But even the people with coverage will probably have, are definitely in danger of major out-of-pocket costs. So it's, I mean, this will be with most of them their entire lives. Whether it's a traumatic, you know, brain injury or nerve damage in a foot or an amputation, because there's a possibility of amputation or for some down the road, or some have already had it, skin grafting, bone grafting, all that kind of stuff, all those treatments, mega bucks. A surgical amputation costs about $40,000, can cost up to that. Then if you get one of those prosthetic limbs, which hopefully a lot of the people will be fitted with those so they can have a much more normal life, that's anywhere from $5,000 to $50,000, the technology. And that's what it costs you. So pretty much over the span of a lifetime for an amputee, it can be $500,000, because then they have to upgrade their houses in a different way, their cars, that all that goes into this too, the amount that they have to pay. So in 30 states without laws, coverage could be worse for some of the prosthetic coverage caps, because some of them are lower and some of them aren't. And that's also part of the problem. So isn't it wild that 20 states, including Massachusetts, have passed fair insurance laws for amputees that require a certain level, I just was reading this, of coverage for prosthetic care. So those states that the person was from, insurance will cover at least 80% of the cost. That's good. The bad news is if somebody isn't from one of those states, because you got to think about all the things that they have to go through. Wow. I mean, unbelievable. It's interesting. A lot of people are vowing that they're going to come back and run. I mean, even the people with prosthetic limbs now are saying they're going to try to come back and learn how to run. So there's a guy in Boston. It's the greatest story. We're trying to have him on the show. He started a nonprofit called Who Says I Can't Foundation, and they're trying to help the people in the situation where they're going to try to get themselves into the shape where they can run with a prosthetic device. But what that foundation is going to do is try to get those people some training so they can do it again. I mean, wouldn't that really be a symbol to see all of them, or a big chunk of the people anyway, being able to run? But, man, what a blow that is. So a terrorist not only changes your life in many, many ways, they change it also severely when it comes to the financial picture. And that's why if you find a great place to donate a couple of bucks to, man, donate a couple of bucks. I mean, look, everyone's struggling, but if you have even just a, if everyone that was listening to America Tonight just sent $5, man, that would help somebody, because I was so sad to learn. Obviously, we knew the number was high, and we know that health care costs are crazy, off the charts, but you've got 20 people still in the hospital and all those other people trying to recover from that, and that's rough. That pressure that's also on their backs now because of how much it'll cost them to get the operations they need and then to go through the rehab is just darn right depressing, you know. Absolutely, just absolutely depressing. All right, the Newtown daughter who confronted the senator, who is that? Because some of the people are pretty vocal, and remember, there's a whole group that went to Washington to talk to senators. So now what's happened is there is it's a flashpoint. So Erica Lafferty, who is the daughter of the principal from Sandy Hook, Dawn Hotspring, went and confronted the New Hampshire senator about why she voted against the background check amendment, which was created from a bipartisan compromise, as she said, but failed to gain the 60 votes. We know the story now after this. And Lafayette said, listen, the legislation, she was told it would be burdensome on gun store owners, and she said, I'm just wondering why the burden of my mother being gunned down in the halls of her elementary school isn't quite as important. And Lafferty was one of the families who traveled to D.C., like I mentioned, to lobby senators to pass tougher gun laws. Only four Republicans, you know the story now, voted against the party and in favor of the compromise checks. But it was some of the Democrats that dumped out that really sunk that they weren't going to get the amount that they, you know, the amount that they needed. And, you know, you feel for the people of Newtown, too, and Sandy Hook. And here's what happens. We have a tragedy rip us apart. Boston is a prime example. Here I'm talking about the medical costs. Or Newtown, Connecticut. And how do you, you know, putting these people back together again, the people emotionally who have to deal with this, because there's all this drama and trauma. And then it goes away. And then it goes away. Just remember all of those people whenever you can. And really, really think about the people from Newtown, Connecticut, because I can only imagine some of the heavy, hard feelings that they're carrying around with them. Any thoughts on the show? You know what to do. Send them to me. Go to the website, americatonight.net.
Are you an inventor, or do you know an inventor who would like to attempt to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to industry? For free information on how to proceed, phone toll-free 1-800-977-6119. InventHelp, America's leading invention company, has inventors' information you can have free. Get an informative brochure and other material of interest to new inventors from the company whose patent referrals have helped secure more than 7,000 patents. Learn how to get your free information by dialing 1-800-977-6119. That's 1-800-977-6119. Even if you only have an idea for improving an existing product and don't know where to go with it, you'll want this free inventor's information. It shows how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to industry. It's a free call. That's 1-800-977-6119. 1-800-977-6119.